What is disability? How does asking this question expand how we think about disability and people with disabilities? How does disability intersect with identity, with representation, with access, with citizenship, with a host of different ways that power is distributed and withheld? Welcome to our special seminar on disability studies and diversity issues. I'm really excited to work with our cohort this very unusual term here, a term unlike any that we've had in history. And I hope that we can leverage this unique moment as we explore these fascinating topics together. I'm, first of all, delighted to see that we have such a wide variety of disciplines together here, psychology, some of you still deciding your direction, learning design, social work and social welfare, kinesiology and rehab, and some of you focusing in on disability. And as many of you may have discovered in your graduate work, frequently we get siloed and can make valuable connections with those within our discipline, but we kind of miss out sometimes on making interdisciplinary cross-pollination and connections. And that'll be one of the very valuable things that we'll be doing together in this course as we explore a discipline that is in itself fiercely interdisciplinary. So what I want to do in this very brief podcast is very quickly highlight a couple of nuts and bolts about this course. And also, I'll just say a very quick couple of words about your readings. So first of all, in general, the readings and viewings and podcasts, etc., that may be circulated to you will be available in the modules inside of our course site on Canvas. This is the first term that, or rather the first year that I'm using Canvas. I've been using Blackboard for many, many years, and there may be a couple little technical bumps along the way as I get comfortable in this new digital domain. Bear with me on that, and if there's ever anything that somehow doesn't occur correctly on your screen, please reach out to me immediately and I can make sure that you have access to whatever it is. So what will happen is the key part of our class, since of course we won't be meeting physically, everything in this class is done asynchronously, meaning that you can participate in our discussions, in our ongoing conversation, at your own pace, as long as you are meeting the obligations within the time constraints that are identified. Now, each of you will have active participation on our discussion boards, which will be the central hub of our discussions. And this is really a safe space for us to explore these ideas together. And while we are respectful of each other's positions and experiences, there will be disagreements and debate. In fact, I encourage that. And sometimes those points will be some of the most valuable places for us to explore. So again, this will be our central hub for our ongoing discussions with each other. And you'll be posting to every prompt, and your posts can be any length whatsoever. Now, during the course, five of your prompts, responses, will be a bit longer and developed. And those are what's discussed in the syllabus, your five critical responses or critical analyses. And those are just a bit more developed, where you are kind of advancing an argument and giving some evidence from our ongoing discussion and from your readings. And you will choose when you want one of your responses to be one of those critical responses. And you'll highlight it simply by titling it, for example, critical response number one, number two, making sure that the word count is highlighted. And each of you, again, will be responding, though, in general, at any length, and reading all the posts that are posted. You should be automatically subscribed as you post into a thread. If you haven't yet responded to a thread, make sure you jump in there to see the ongoing flow of what's happening. And so you can see those. But once you're subscribed, you should see them as they pop up. And be sure again to read all those replies so that you can stay in the flow of the ongoing discussion. And I'll be popping in to respond as well. And even if I am responding to an individual person and asking them a question, I encourage you to answer that question too, if you have something in particular you'd like to say. Now, you're responding to every post. By that I mean every prompt. And there's an expectation that you'll be active within each thread so that you're probably responding to two or three of other people's responses. Those can be simple acknowledgments or questions. But again, they'll just help us build our community of discourse and inquiry together. I've been doing these online classes for many years, and I'm always continue to be amazed how even when we never meet each other physically, that somehow we're able to create real communities and born from our honest inquiry and also perhaps some of the sharing that we do about our own experiences as it dialogues with these theoretical lenses that we'll be playing with together. So again, our main focus of our discussions, our key point of access with each other, will be in this discussion board, where you'll be responding to these weekly posts that are prompted there. And in addition to responding yourself, again, I do encourage you to be actively engaged in the posts that other people are posting, and asking questions and commenting on each other's things. If someone posts something that you think is especially interesting or that you disagree with, don't be silent about that. Make sure that you make that clear and contribute that to our ongoing discussion. You may have noticed that sometimes I will highlight in my response something that someone else said in their own post. And I encourage you to do the same. Highlight quotations that someone has said that resonate with you or perhaps that you disagree with. And as I said, I encourage you to have ongoing engaged debate with each other as well. So that's just a few words about our discussion boards and the way that that will be working. Now, I want to mention a couple of things about your final project. Now, it's quite early for that. We've just started to gather, but it's not too early to start thinking about what you might want to have as the focus of your final project. And as I wrote in the syllabus, I encourage you to design these projects to be as aligned with your academic and professional needs and personal interest as possible. And with that said, have these be as practical to your needs as you can be. And I encourage you to make intersections with other work or projects that you may have. Now, in addition to having the option of having a developed argumentative paper, a research paper, you also can elect to have your final project be in other forms that may best align with your needs and interests. Just to very quickly give you some examples of some of the kinds of work that other students have elected to do. In the past, some students have elected to create short films. these short films. There have been both narrative ones as well as profiles of perhaps a family member or some discussion of a particular issue related to disability and disability studies. Students have opted to create podcasts. Some have created physical works, including scrapbooks, historical scrapbooks, or there have also been art and art installations that students have done exploring some of the work that we are doing together in the class. So I mention all that simply to place that on your radar at this early stage to get you to start thinking about what is the form that you would like to best put together your work and that you can kind of start having as sort of a magnet, an organizing magnet under these metal filings that we're going to be exploring together, kind of a way to bring these together and give them shape. So again, this can be either a paper or some other form that you feel best resonates with your needs and interests. And I encourage you to reach out to me if you have ideas about that that you'd like to ask about. Now, I very much enjoyed reading some of your initial posts and the very frank way that many of you have been sharing insights drawn from your own childhood, from your professional and personal experiences, sometimes as parents or as children. And I found especially interesting our discussion about where these ideas about disability, our initial ones, and its cultural meanings, where they may have their origin. And it was very interesting that there were a lot of commonalities in many of these, suggesting that a lot of these are systemic and born of a whole host of different factors that we might not normally think about. Some of you also talked about the important role that media has played in shaping the ways in which we think about disability, and also in ways that we might not necessarily think about how that may be very closely connected to exposure or lack of exposure and interaction for a host of different reasons with other people with disabilities. And we'll be thinking about why that might be occurring and the larger impacts of that as well. A lot of the course is going to invite us to kind of make strange a lot of our assumptions about disability, to question them. And your initial reading, part of it is doing this with the idea of normal and something that seems so natural and normal that we don't question its origins. And your article by Davis invites us to do just that and almost presents a picture of kind of a cult of normal that has a history and has very specific consequences and impacts and imperatives for action that this seemingly simple idea has invited. This concept of normal, something that we don't normally think about as even being an idea, that it just seems so natural in much of the same ways that many of us think about disability as just something that you're either disabled or you ain't, that it's just a natural idea, rather than thinking about the ways in which it is shaped and wedded to a whole bunch of other concepts, and moreover, is very culturally specific and historically specific and changes depending on the culture and historical period that we're in. So coming back to this idea of normal being made strange, is inviting us to think about some of the consequences of this, what we think of as a very basic natural idea that is not at all natural and is not at all basic, is quite complex and is wholly constructed. That this idea, for one, it creates other things that didn't exist. And one of the most central things that it creates for the purposes of our discussion is the abnormal body, which itself then has certain imperatives of what must be done with that abnormal body. And the most striking of these, of course, might be located with eugenics, something that we that's had very horrific consequences, and that if you've spent time with that, perhaps in other classes, we may associate it with the Nazis. But Davis was careful to point out that for quite a long time, that any sensible American or European was assumed to agree with the basic tenets of eugenics as enlightened common sense. But embedded in this common sense was a basic idea of people with disabilities being unfit, and a logic connected to that that has a lot of horrific consequences. And in my earlier lecture that I invited you guys to listen to, we talked a bit about some of that too. But again, he's inviting us to think about how many of these concepts that we think of as natural, particularly here the idea of normal, again, is something that is valuable for us to make strange and something to make visible, something that's normally invisible to us and that's omnipresent and intermingled into so many of our basic assumptions about what it means to be a human. He mentions briefly how intertwined it is with much of our ideas of the basic psyche of humans, given to us through Freud. I also talked a bit about the ways in which it invites certain ways to represent bodies, particularly if we're thinking about novels. And by implication here, we could also include film and other representative media and TV. Among other things, as Davis suggests, that in representations that frequently, for a host of different reasons, that we're often not invited to identify directly with the person with disabilities. Now, there are a host of examples of that where that's not true, but his larger point here is that, in general, there's certain logic inviting us to not identify with the person with disabilities. And that he's suggesting that an expanded, what he called disability consciousness, can fundamentally shift the way that we look at literature, the way that we look at culture, and even ways that we interrogate our own language and words that we might not normally give a great deal of attention to. So, and your other reading is situating disability studies, giving it some historical legs and placing it in context of a host of other things that we'll be exploring together. So I'm very excited to hear more about your ideas as we explore these and to touch base with each other in our reactions and ongoing discussions in the discussion board. As I mentioned, that will be the central place that we will be talking. I will have a survey coming up shortly that I'm contemplating having an optional clubhouse discussion where we'll be kind of an informal touch base on some of the ideas that we're exploring in the course sometime during the course in the social media app Clubhouse, an audio space for live discussions. Anyways, those, if we do indeed do that, it will not be required, as this is an asynchronous course, and I know that many of you rely on that in order to accommodate a host of other responsibilities that you have right now as well. But I just wanted to put that on your radar. There will be a survey that will be asking you about that. So again, that was just a quick overview of some of the nuts and bolts of our class, as well as just highlighting a couple little things for us to think about from your reading, mainly this idea of making strange a lot of our basic assumptions about disability, and as that reading did, primarily this idea of normal and its consequences and its imperatives for action and the consequences it has both conceptually in the ways that we view the world, as well as practically in the kinds of actions it has historically invited. Welcome again, and I look forward to talking to you soon. Bye for now.